Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to take up the great drama that's unfolding in the daily readings, the gospel readings the church is giving us for this season of Lent, particularly chapter 8 of John's gospel. Beautiful, powerful chapter. It's the encounter, the collision, you could say, the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. Things are heating up, and it's moving toward, as you know, this whole season is moving us toward Calvary, to the apex of Jesus's mission and ministry here on earth, when he, in obedience to the Father, in radical, obedient trust to the Father, he offers up his life as a living sacrifice for your sin and mine, for the sin of the world. And it's tied to the conflict that he's having with the religious leaders, and he's exposing the sin-sick condition of the human heart, not only in the lives of ordinary people, but in particular in the religious leaders of the time, the very proprietors, the people who were in charge of the people of Israel, the experts of the Torah, the religious leaders. Jesus is exposing the condition of each one of their hearts as well. Today's reading is just building on where we left yesterday. Jesus had said this. I'll just read the end of verse 29 from yesterday. In the midst of the conflict, remember, he told the Pharisees, if they did not believe in him and didn't believe in his message, his claim to who he was, their need to repent, to receive the kingdom of God, that they would die in their sins. He didn't just mean that they would die biologically, but after their biological death, they would end up in hell, eternally separated from God. They would suffer the inheritance. They would inherit sin's destiny. And sin's destiny is condemnation. And Jesus will condemn sin on the cross. And anyone who remains attached to their sin, who says, I don't need to repent, I'm fine as who I am, and I'm my own savior, essentially, I don't need a savior, will die in the condition of being under the power and domination of sin. And God's judgment against sin will be against that person, because that person has identified himself or herself with sin by refusing to accept Jesus' diagnosis of the human condition, their personal condition, before God, and to receive God's cleansing mercy and favor through the gift of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. So in verse 29, it says, and he who sent me is with me. He's talking about the Father. He has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him. As he spoke thus, many believed in him. But the religious leaders didn't believe in him. They were still resisting him. They were threatened by him. And they didn't want to change. They didn't want to have to follow someone else. They didn't want to believe. Again, Jesus is saying very simply, he's describing his relationship with the Father. And as he, in that description, he's helping us see and understand what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to imitate him and to learn his life. So who are you? If you're baptized into Christ, you're a son of God or a daughter of God, and you're called to be his disciple, to be his follower. You're a child of God, you're a disciple. How does a child of God live? Jesus says here, I do nothing on my own authority. That's how we should live. Your life is no longer your own. Your life now belongs to another. It belongs to Jesus. And the point of life isn't to self-create. The point of life isn't to do simply what I want to do and ultimately get God to salute it and to sign off on it. The point of my life is to be dead. Dead to myself. Dead to my self-will. To my passions. To all the wonderful things I want to put first in my life. To die to myself is to die to that dimension of my life that thinks about myself first before God and everyone else. Right? To believe that somehow my life is my own, it belongs to me, I declare what it's going to be and not be. Instead, Jesus said, I do nothing on my own. I do everything that the Father tells me to do. So Jesus basically turns to you and to me today in the season of Lent and says, if you want to follow me, that's what it's about. If you want to be my disciple, then that's what you need to do. You need to do everything that my Father and I command you to do, to welcome it into your life, and let that be the food that feeds you every day. That's the meaning of your life now. It doesn't matter all the passions and desires and interests and particular proclivities you might have or things you might be interested in. Yeah, you can talk to Jesus about those things, but ultimately, for the disciple and the follower, it's what Jesus says here. I always do what is pleasing to him. St. Paul takes up these very words and says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, we make it our aim now, as disciples, he means, we make it our aim to please the Lord. Not to please my life, please myself in this life, and hope that God will accept it all, or to play a kind of game with the Lord where we really are set on the things that please us, and then we kind of shave off the things we know that are bad that we shouldn't do, but we mostly want to stake out a life, a pattern of life, a set of habits and things that we're really into and that please us, and we focus on those things, and then we give God a little bit of time here or there. That's the temptation. Jesus is saying, no, it's all in. Now, what does that continue to look like in verse 31? He says, Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, he said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. So some of the Jews turned to Jesus and believed in him. And so Jesus helps them understand then, what does it mean for them to live as his disciple? He said, if you continue in my word, here's a good question for us in Lent. Are you in his word? Do you know his word? Do you read his word in the Bible? Do you read the actual words of Jesus in the Gospels? Do you read the whole counsel of God's revelation given to us in the Scripture? There's no book like the Bible. None. This is the word of God. That's God-breathed. You can take it to the bank. You can count on this. Everything God desires you to know that God himself has revealed to you for your salvation is here. To know this word is to know Christ. To be a follower and a disciple of Jesus is to be one who knows him. So Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's such an important word. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. To know Jesus is to know the truth. What truth? It's to know the truth about God. Who is God? It's to know the truth about who you are as a creature, made by God, made for God, where you come from, why you're here, where you're going. You find it all in the person of Jesus. All the big questions of life are answered in Jesus himself. And so if you know the truth about who you are, and who God is, and what he's calling you to be, and what Jesus brings to you, the truth of the kingdom of God, along with it, a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, you can then live differently. You can actually be free. Free from what? Free from sin, the slavery to sin, free from death, free from just living in a lie, living as if God doesn't exist. I mean, that's insane. That's a lie. That's a deep bondage. In the world today, it's celebrated. It's celebrated as if it's freedom, radical autonomy, independence. I'm my own maker, all of that, which you've talked about many times on the program. We declare it as freedom, but it's bondage and slavery. Why? Because it's fundamentally a lie. A lie cannot lead you to freedom. Only the truth will set you free. Freedom is to be what you were made to be. And to have the power and the capacity to be all that you were made to be. That's what freedom is living in that reality. The devil wants to distort it all. He's a liar and the father of lies. He wants us to live by lies. There is no God. We're here, it's just random matter in motion. There's no meaning in life. Your life has no intrinsic meaning. You're not made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus is not God's son. You don't need salvation. There is no such thing as sin. After you die, there is nothing more, all of it. That's what the world just keeps regurgitating in one form or another and pushing, resisting the revelation of the Son of God, of the one who literally made it all, Jesus Christ. He said, they answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free? What's interesting, Israel certainly did know lots of bondage throughout its history, little time in Egypt and other places. But what they're trying to do is say, look, we are descendants of Abraham by virtue of our birth, and therefore we are free. Jesus says, verse 34, he answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So anyone who commits a sin is a slave and is not free, is in bondage to sin. Of course, they thought they were sinless and righteous before the law, but Jesus read each one of their hearts. He revealed it to them, the sin-sick condition of their heart, but this is why they resisted. And this is the same reason today that so many people, even baptized people, we resist the whole revelation of God, the whole counsel of God's word. Not only the comforting and tender and loving things that Jesus says, but we resist the difficult things Jesus says. Just like he said to the Pharisees here yesterday in the reading, if you don't believe in me, that is, totally abandon yourself and trust to God, believe that he's the Son of God, that his word is true, and that you order your life toward him. If you don't believe that, if you don't do that, you're going to die in your sins, eternally separated from God. Jesus continues, the slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So Jesus is the son. He's the son of the father who dwells, you know, he's in the family. He's the father's beloved son. But everyone who sins and rebels against God is a slave. And a slave doesn't live in the house. Jesus came to deal with this reality, our slavery to sin. He came to break sin's power and domination over us. Sin is a power. Sin reigns, the Bible says, and sin reigns in death. The reality of sin's power is revealed in death, not only just biological death, but the second death. The scripture talks about an eternal separation from God. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So Jesus is saying he's God's son. He's claiming that he's free because he is God's son and lives in the house of God, and he's come to set them free. And so if they say yes to Jesus and believe in him and have their sins forgiven, are baptized into Christ, then they will be set free. Apart from it, there is no freedom. Verse 37, I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. You see what's happening, how the depth of the hearts of each one of these religious leaders is being revealed. God himself in the person of Jesus is standing right there before them. And he's telling the truth that will set them free. He's helping them see the truth about themselves, and they grind their teeth against him. They can't stand it. He's calling them sinners. He's saying that they don't automatically inherit everything that belongs to Abraham, who's our father in faith. And what are they trying to do? They're seeking to kill him. Love came, God came, and what does the human heart do? Wants to silence God. Wants to be deaf to the claims that God has over our lives, even to the point of killing him. My word finds no place in you. Does God's word find its place in your heart, friend? Deep in your heart. Are you allowing that word to examine you and change you? God bless you, friend. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.